Most of Alaska is off the road system. Most of our sites were above the Arctic Circle, hundreds and hundreds of miles between populated centers. And the coast was just covered with grizzly bears.
In Hilo, we get an average of 120 inches of rain a year.
We'd have lava just pop up in certain lava zones. The FAA had equipment in those lava zones. It's not LA, it's not San Diego. We're hot. I mean hot, I mean 120 plus. Electronics that we maintain they weren't meant to operate in 120 degrees or anywhere near that temperature.
Welcome to The Air Up There, a podcast about the wide world of aerospace. I'm Ryan Willis. In the FAA, technical operations is the group that keeps the air traffic control facilities and equipment up and running. Oftentimes doing their jobs silently and at weird hours to keep the impact to air traffic and the flying public to a minimum. And sometimes they're faced with daunting challenges. Imagine a weather radar that's blown into the sea during a hurricane, or technicians dropping into a jungle from a helicopter because the road is washed away. How about runway landing lights that are buried under feet of snow? Or the landscape around the facility literally being on fire? You get the picture. It can be pretty adventurous. They don't just stick to one job either. Some of our techs jump from facility to facility. Jeremy Withrow has run the environmental gamut from Arctic Alaska to rainforest in Hawaii into the burning desert of California. And Charles Barclay with a C, not the other guy, is in Hawaii, and they have some great stories.
When I got out of the Air Force, I was still kind of looking for adventure, I think. The FAA offered me that job. Out there in the bush, we were a long way from help. Any kind of serious emergency was 500 to 700 miles to the hospital in Anchorage. It's unimaginable cold where I was in the Arctic. There's 9 months of winter. At 50 below zero is normal. It's hard to breathe. Everything is a challenge. But yeah, we had to have very thick parkas, boots that were rated down to 50 below. We would fly everywhere we went. That's not easy climbing in and out of little planes. You look like the little kid from the Christmas Story where he's in his red snowsuit and he can't put his arms down. I mean, it's almost to the point it's like that. You got so many layers on that it's hard to do anything. Can't have any skin exposed, pretty much just your eyes. I mean, that's it. Even that's difficult at extreme temperatures because your tears on your eyes will literally freeze. It was an adventure. It was dangerous sometimes. It wasn't a 9-to-5 job. That's not what I signed up for. On one occasion, climbed up the back of a satellite dish because there were, you know, a grizzly bear was there. Got chased up the back of that until he went away and I could get down. On one occasion, we had radios at a mountaintop, and that was the coldest I've ever been. At sea level, it wasn't too bad, but the wind, well, I say too bad, but really that's like 30 below, right, is not too bad. But with the wind chill up at the communication site was negative 80. Yeah, you can't really comprehend how cold that is and what that feels like. It was exciting. There was always something new.
So I do want to circle back. You have to give me a little bit more about this grizzly bear.
It was a site, a remote site along the coast, along the Arctic Ocean. And it was early fall, which is early September for that location, that far north. And the coast was just covered with grizzly bears. They were all feasting on berries and whatever they could find before winter set in. When I landed, I got out and our point of contact there and the pilot were like, better be careful, the bears are all over the place. So we had a building there which housed all of our equipment and then a satellite dish. I was working, yeah, on the backside of the satellite dish, and the grizzly bear had moved around the other side of the building where I couldn't see him. When I walked around the side of the building, he was standing right there. Yeah, stood up on his hind legs. It's not like the national park where, you know, they're used to seeing humans. So I startled him as much as he startled me. Put down my things and slowly backed away. And then as soon as I got out of his eyesight, boy, I never ran that fast to up the back of the satellite dish. He came over and, you know, sniffed around and looked around and then walked off. But my heart was racing.
Oh my goodness.
When you live in Alaska, you know how to deal with the bears. Even in the municipalities like Anchorage, in the cities, the bears are just there.
Not so much angry wildlife to worry about at his next facility. But it's not always the tropical paradise you think when you hear Hawaii.
We lived and I was assigned on the Big Island of Hawaii, so I didn't travel among the different islands. Less travel, more just we maintained everything, all the electronics and the communications and navigations on just the Big Island. I obviously did not need the cold weather gear that I had bought for Alaska. A lot of our sites were at the mountaintops. Anytime the trade winds were blowing, we had radar sites and communication sites where it would blow 40 miles an hour steady and blow that way nonstop. At these mountaintop sites, it would rain 15 hours a day and do that 300 days a year. So we're always dealing with the wind and the rain, cold and wet. That was just the conditions it worked in.
In Hilo, we get an average of 120 inches of rain a year. But ramifications of it is we do have a lot of corrosion. We might have an air conditioning system in Hilo that might last less than 10 years, might only last 7 years. The same system on the other side of the island, the dry side, which is Kona, is gonna last maybe 20 years. So it's a constant battle.
On the Big Island, that's where the Kilauea volcano, the most active volcano is. So, you know, we'd have lava just pop up in certain lava zones. The FAA had equipment in those lava zones. So if lava would come up out of the earth, we'd had sites that have been cut off by road to get to because there's lava and would take out the road.
We had a major eruption from the Kilauea volcano. And sometimes what happens is it'll erupt at the summit, but also vents out the side of the volcano. The lava went all the way down, miles down to the ocean in the Puna area. And I think they might have lost, I think, upwards of 600 homes in that eruption. So we have a radar system out there, 250-mile radar. Our island is the closest to the West Coast. So the planes that are picked up on radar coming from the West Coast are picked up by that radar. The lava was threatening to cut that radar off by flowing over the highway. That lava stopped only a couple blocks from the highway, which was actually amazing.
Bears, minus 50 degree temps, soaking wet hypothermia, lava. What else could the earth possibly throw at our people in technical operations?
We're in the desert, so it's not LA. It's not San Diego. We're hot. I mean hot. I mean 120 plus. So yeah, hot and dry. Electronics that we maintain they weren't meant to operate in 120 degrees or anywhere near that temperature. So especially in the summer, very mindful of the air conditioning and making sure the buildings are cool, because without that, the electronics would just, it's just gonna burn up. We don't go anywhere without water. We make sure our vehicles are well-maintained, because you go out to some of our mountaintop remote sites and your vehicle breaks down and there's no cell phone coverage. It's 120 degrees. It might be 5 miles to the interstate. That's a long 5 miles at 120 degrees in the blaring sun. We've done this at all the locations I've been, but wherever we go, somebody knows where you're going and when you'll be back. So if you don't show up at the end of the day, somebody's looking for you.
So as a tech ops employee, you may be called out in the middle of the night and you might be called out to respond. So if there's any type of danger, any type of weather or security, there's going to be a discussion before you go out.
Yeah, I think we avoid those kind of emergencies by risk assessment and planning. If there's monsoon storms, we won't travel that day. It's not worth somebody's life to not come back to fix a radio or something. We work really hard to avoid taking unnecessary risks.
Adventures, man. Tech Ops is adventurous. We'd like to share more stories like Jeremy and Charles's. If you'd like to hear them, let us know. The beaches of California, islands like Puerto Rico and Guam, high in the Rockies, everywhere planes, drones, or rockets fly, there are technicians with great stories to tell. And that's our episode. If you liked today's episode, share with somebody. The Air Up There is a podcast from the Federal Aviation Administration. You can find the FAA on social media at FAA on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and at FAA News on Twitter and YouTube. Thanks for listening.